The golden age of radio is on the air. Morehead State Public Radio presents classic old-time radio programs from radio's golden age, the 1930s through the 1950s. On this program of the golden age of radio, songs by Gene Autry and Hank Williams, comedians Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding from 1959, and an NBC short story from 1952 featuring Ray Bradbury's science fiction tale, The Rocket. Stay tuned for the golden age of radio after today's news from NPR on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Later on today's show, comedians Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding from 1959 and an NBC short story from 1952 featuring Ray Bradbury's The Rocket. Right now, here's Gene Autry with Listen to the Rhythm of the Range from 1937 as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
Listen to that rhythm of the rain, reeling, rocking rhythm of the rain. You've heard that old bazooka and the king of jazz, but have you felt the tickle that this rain's rhythm has? Dancing to the rhythm of the rain, reeling, rocking rhythm you can't change. Grandpa burned his crutches and won't stay at home since this rural rhythm has got in his bones, and he's dancing to the rhythm, prancing to the rhythm, dancing to the rhythm of the range. Oh, listen to that rhythm of the range, rootin' tootin' rhythm of the range. You've heard the cowhand's music and you've heard him sing, but have you seen that cowhand shoot a horsefly on the wing? Shootin' to the rhythm of the range. Shot for shot is always fair exchange. In the land of cattle, the six-gun is law, and you get a medal if you shoot your mother-in-law. So keep shooting to the rhythm, rootin' tootin' rhythm, shooting to the rhythm of the range. Play it, boys. Listen to the rhythm of the rain, rock and rolling rhythm of the rain. There's rhythm in the wind and the waving corn, and Grandpa sleeps in rhythm, yes, he snores just like a horn. Listen to that rhythm of the rain, rock and rolling rhythm you can't change. The old chuck wagon rhythm starts about noon, and you hear the cowhand sipping soup very soon, and there's music to their rhythm, rootin' tootin' rhythm, music to their rhythm of the rain.
Pepsi-Cola refreshes without filling. Why? Because it's truly light.
Charlie, you're forgetting something.
Wait, Kay, there's more. Yes, ice-cold Pepsi is the delicious refreshment that goes great at a picnic or a party.
But, Charlie...
And Pepsi goes fast. People like it, so keep plenty handy. There.
Oh, you did fine. Except for one thing.
Well, I mentioned lightness and how Pepsi refreshes and how fast it goes.
You left out Pepsi sociability. You know the Be Sociable song.
But, Kay, I can't sing.
I can. Listen.
Be sociable. Look smart. Keep up to date with Pepsi. Drink light, refreshing Pepsi. Stay young and fair and debonair. Be sociable. Have a Pepsi.
Now from coast to coast, Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding present the Bob and Ray Show.
Is sick and couldn't be here, and I might point out that the replacement will not be here tomorrow.
You were late getting here. What happened?
I got my foot caught on the elevator, Bob, between the second and third floors.
Well,
not my foot, really. It's my shoe. I was wearing my rubber boots. I was out duck hunting, and I just had to hurry back into town.
Well, that's not too good for a man in your health.
I shouldn't be out duck hunting, getting my feet wet.
No, sir.
With this bit of a head cold that I have. You're right. You're right. There's no doubt about it.
But anyway, here we are at the middle of the week, and I think we ought to go right down to... Arthur Schrank is busy with the Bob and Ray trophy train in Texarkana, Texas. And he's down being feted by the folks at KOSY, in particular Tom... Dillahunty, I think. So, Arthur, if you can hear us on our two-way telephone, please come in.
Hi, everybody. This is Arthur Schrank speaking from Texarkana, Texas. Standing beside... Hello, everybody. This is Arthur Schrank. Standing beside me is Tom Dillahunty of KOSY. Cozy! Come up here to our KOSY CBS microphone and... Say hello to everybody.
Oh, well, it's a real pleasure to welcome you and the trophy train here, Mr. Schrank, and all of us at Cozy Radio are pleased that you have singled us out to make this stop. Everyone has been very generous in their contributions to the trophy train. They have put coins in the little plate there at the end of the second car, and they've bought a goodly number of pictures, I think.
I've noticed some of the people as they come through the trophy train, Mr. Dillahunty, are complaining about having to spend too much money here on the trophy train, and that some of the attendants on the train are more or less...
Surly is a good word for it.
No, making them spend their money.
Yes, but of course we are big spenders, and... We have tried to contribute our little bit to the success of this venture. Selling pictures for $2.25 seems a little steep for a glossy 5x7.
Yes, I would say that too.
Are you looking for a job as an announcer, Frank? We're in the market for one.
Well, I might, sir, because I'm getting just a little fed up the time. I'm getting a little tired.
How steady a job do you have with Bob and Ray?
Well,
anyway?
It's seasonal. I know that as soon as this trophy train as soon as this trophy train can't roll, I know I'm going to be let out.
Well, you just come and see me when that time comes, and I'll see what I can do.
Okay.
I think we could use a bright boy like you with your voice and obvious talent. Your personality, I think it would go over great here.
I see you winking there, Mr. Dillahunty. And if you were such a big shot, I'd flatten you right now.
I see your small helper there is getting ready to sing, I think.
Yes, he is.
So I better get off the train.
Run along.
Don't forget to come and see me if you're looking for work.
Okay, Wallace, go ahead.
Sounds better every day, doesn't it?
It's great. It's great.
Yes, sir. Well, now then, let's have a word about Columbia right here.
Bonjour. I am Jacques Leroy, expert on the stereophonic phonograph. I will now clear up this whole subject. S'il vous plaît, listen to ordinary stereo. A girl crossing the street. Eh bien. Now on Columbia Stereo 1. Oh, that was a pretty girl crossing the street. Quelle différence! The fantastic Columbia Stereo 1 phonograph gives you all the realism and excitement of a live performance. Walk in a moment, mademoiselle, or Well, pardon. You see, only Columbia has exclusive stereo projection. Not just a few separated speakers, I know, but multiple speakers that send interlocking circles of sound through every inch of the room. See the Columbia Phonograph Man Toot Suite. Columbia Stereo 1 Portable starts at $39.95. Cancels from $129.95. It's only ma chérie. Wait for me.
Welcome now to Nick Tinney's Birthday Time, featuring the old soothsayer himself, Nick Tinney.
Well, hello to you all in birthday land, those in Peru and those in Samarkand. Please have a happy time. As a matter of fact, make it sublime.
Well, hi, Nick, and I see you're in a jocular mood today. So how about reeling off a few birthdays?
Sure. Yeah? July 6th, August 17th, October 7th, February 14th.
Well, the old soothsayer is up to his old tricks again, but for good reason, folks. The mask of the muse has many sides, and humor is often used to cover up a serious nature.
That's right.
So before we get into birthday greetings, here's Mr. Tinney's inspirational message for the day.
See the sunshine in what air you do. Being gloomy isn't worth the sue. The silver in that far-off cloud is there for a reason. It heralds the ending of the rainy season. So, if you're caught in a downpour and can't seem to start, remember this. You'll always be in the indoors of my heart.
How wonderful. That's inspiration at its best, Nick. Poetic words of wisdom. Did you want to get into the birthdays now?
Well, not until I send a poetic message to a certain gentleman who can use the lift.
As usual, thinking of yourself, Nick, but then you always did. I think we'd all like to hear you help that man.
Okay. Although you are temporarily dislodged from your home and on the unfriendly streets you are forced to roam, think of the friends you can make with just plain talk. From your vantage point, your wonderful, comfortable, easy chair located on the sidewalk.
Now for a few quick birthday greetings, Nick. First, Michael Danley. He's 6 years old today.
Dear Michael Danley, at your age, you should be neither hurt nor seen, as befits most boys who've just reached the age of 15.
The boy is six, Nick. I guess you dug into the wrong felicitation file.
Well, it happened. What's his name again?
6-year-old Michael Danley.
Congratulations, Michael Danley, on reaching the age of six. If you're very lucky, you'll never have to make a trip to Fort Dix.
Nick, do you, in conclusion, have a general birthday greeting for your thousands of other friends who are born on this day?
I certainly do. Lift up your heads and shout to the sky. I'm 1 year older, and getting there was as easy as pie. And as much as I'd like to give personal greetings to one and all, it's quite impossible, for I'd have to hire a hall.
The old soothsayer himself, folks, Nick Tinney, and he'll be around again soon.
It's been fun.
And now let's hear a message from the watchmakers of Switzerland.
Swiss vacation. Well, you know, Swiss vacation.
Win a fabulous vacation for two in beautiful Switzerland. Enter the Swiss Vacation Contest. It's easy. Nothing to buy. Pick up a free entry blank at a jewelry store or other store that sells quality watches. Then in 25 words or less, complete this statement. A quality watch is the best value because there are 1,000 prizes.
First prize, a 21-day vacation for two in Switzerland. You fly deluxe Swiss Air both ways. Visit many colorful places. All expenses paid for two people plus $500 extra spending money.
Second, third, and fourth prizes. 15-day Swiss vacations for two. Also, 4 Minck stoves, 8 Bolex movie cameras and projectors, 12 Hermes typewriters, 160 $100 watches, 812 gala assortments of Tobler Swiss chocolates. Enter the Swiss Vacation Contest today. Free entry blanks at your jewelry store. Interviews of Death.
Wally Michaels here, and seated across from me, famous industrialist A.J. Whaley. First, Mr. Whaley, have you any objections to a probing interview?
None at all, Mr. Michaels.
Good. Now, sir, how did you get your start?
I got my start on a ship stoking boilers 24 hours a day, and I could
Mr.
tell
Whaley,
you...
Mr. Whaley, we're not so much interested in what you did. We're more concerned with the why of the thing. I mean, why did you stoke boilers?
Well, take a boiler. If you don't throw coal into it, the ship's not going to make much headway.
We all know that. The point is, what were you like? How were you motivated? That's what we want to know.
Well, when you're a kid...
When were you a kid, Mr. Whaley?
I was a kid years ago.
Well, that's the kind of thing we want to hear. Now, tell us, how did you feel as a young person, or to use your own word, a kid?
Well, as a kid, I suppose I felt, pretty young.
Well, now, was that because of the adults around you? Is that why you felt young as a young person?
I guess so. I don't see how...
Sir, what I'm trying to get at is, what makes a boy, later a man, do the things he's going to do?
Well, when I was a kid, I guess I was pushy, you know.
Sir, to use your word, pushy, did you know at the time you were, to use your self-applied term, pushy?
I guess so. I cracked a lot of heads when I was young.
Well, we're not so much interested in the manifestation of the characteristic as we are in the reasons for it. Now, you just appraised yourself as being an aggressive, or if I may borrow the word, pushy lad. Let's pursue that.
All right.
How do we know you were aggressive during your early life? How do we know you're aggressive now? Can you prove it?
Sure.
Well, you needn't have done that, sir. I was merely trying to plumb the depth.
Well, just trying to get the point home in a hurry, Michaels, that's all.
It certainly makes for an animated interview. And I think we're going to get a much clearer picture of what you're really like.
No sense wasting time.
We've met other men from the rough and tumble world of commerce, men with talent at least equal to your own. And these men have failed. How come you've been so successful? What is it you do, sir, when you're seated at the bargaining tables of industry? Is there something special you do?
Sure. I get the point home in a hurry like this.
Thank you, once pushy boy, now grown and aggressive industrialist, E.J. Whaley, for providing us with an...
Interview of Death. Here's Hollywood star Mona Freeman.
Who feels like acting with a miserable cold? I relieve cold distress the fast way with four-way cold tablets.
Yes, tests of all the leading cold tablets proved four-way fastest acting. Amazing four-way starts in minutes to relieve muscular pains and headache, reduce fever, calm upset stomach, also overcomes irregularity.
When a cold strikes, do what I do. Take four-way cold tablets. It's the fast way to relieve nasty cold distress and feel better quickly.
Four-way, only 29 cents.
Our program will continue in a moment after a word about another fine product of Grove Laboratories. To get rid of embarrassing dandruff in 3 minutes, change to Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo. 3 minutes with Fitch regularly is guaranteed to keep unsightly dandruff away forever. Apply Fitch before wetting hair, rub in 1 minute. Add water, lather 1 minute. Then rinse 1 minute. Every trace of dandruff goes down the drain. 3 minutes with Fitch, and embarrassing dandruff's gone. The same time, Fitch can brighten hair up to 35%. Get Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo today.
And we'll have the voice of a mystery celebrity in just 10 seconds.
Now, here's the voice of a mystery celebrity.
This is Tallulah Bankhead.
And until tomorrow, this is Ray Goulding reminding you to write if you get work.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumbs.
Memories and Merriment. It's the Gary Moore Radio Show weekdays on the CBS Radio Network.
Well, I left my home down on the rural route. I told my pa
the honky tonk blue. Hey, the honky tonk blue. Hey, Lord, I got 'em. I got the honky tonk blue. Well, I went to a dance and I wore out my shoes. Woke up this morning wishing I could lose them jumping honky tonk blues. Hey, the honky tonk blues. Oh, Lord, I got 'em. I got the honky tonk blues. Honky tonk blue. Hey, the honky tonk blue. Hey, Lord, I got 'em. I got the honky tonk blue. I'm gonna tuck my worries underneath my arm and scat right back to my pappy's farm and leave his honky tonk blue. Hey, the honky tonk blue. Oh, Lord, I got 'em. I got the honky tonk blue.
You're listening to the Golden Age of Radio and Hank Williams with Honky Tonk Blues from 1951. We also heard Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding from 1959. Stay tuned for more classic old-time radio from the 1930s through the 1950s when the Golden Age of Radio continues on Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY, at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY 90.3 FM. Right now, here's an NBC short story presenting Ray Bradbury's science fiction tale, The Rocket, from 1952, as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
NBC presents Short Story. Tonight, The Rocket by Ray Bradbury. Stories in the field of science fiction are usually associated in the public's mind with wildly fantastic juvenile adventures. Yet one of today's most promising young writers has seen fit to concentrate almost exclusively on science fiction material. He is Ray Bradbury, and his sensitive, moving stories have a universal appeal which stamps them as truly great. Listen now to a story of the future, Ray Bradbury's The Rocket.
The rocket spattered the concrete launching apron somewhere west of Kansas City. It climbed a fiery ladder and arched eastward over the sleeping land. Lovers looked upward and traced its path with drowsy fingers. The learned astronomers swore academic curses as the brilliant wake-fogged camera plates at Mount Wilson and Palomar and Harvard Observatory. The radar tracking units put their electronic heads together and came to the mathematical conclusion that Flight R-23 was on course at constant acceleration and would reach the orbit of Mars at its scheduled time. The 9 o'clock rocket was on its way.
Fiorello. Fiorello, what are you doing up?
Nothing. Go to sleep.
What are you doing in your bare feet on the cold floor?
Nothing.
Come back to bed.
Later.
Later? 6 o'clock in the morning, you go to work at the junkyard. Don't be a fool. Come back to bed.
It woke me up.
What, the rocket? Well, there should be a law. All night, the rockets.
I'm going for a walk.
Now? 3 o'clock in the morning?
Leave me alone, Maria.
Oh, you're crazy. I know all the time. You think I'm asleep. You walk down by the river to that crazy Bramante who lives in the shack.
Please. Please don't spoil anything.
Spoil? I forbid it. By the right of a wife, I forbid it. Fiorello Bodoni, you come back to your bed.
Later. I'll be back later. Go to sleep, Maria.
I forbid it. I forbid it. At least take your overcoat.
To Mars, to Venus.
Well, well, Bodoni.
Good evening, Bramante.
It is. Sit down.
The air is clear.
You come out for the air?
Small house, smells of old food.
Only for the air?
Only the air.
I prefer the rockets myself. I was a boy when they started. I went to New Mexico to see the takeoff of the first one to the moon.
What was it like, the first rocket? Did it take off like these? Did it fly through the night on a fountain of fire?
I never saw it. A million other fools came for the same thing. I saw the pictures after. 65 years ago. And I've never ridden on one yet.
I'll ride up in one someday.
Ah, fool, you'll never go. This is a rich man's world. Do we fly rockets? No. We live in shacks by the river like our ancestors before us.
Perhaps my sons.
No, nor their sons. It's the rich who have dreams and rockets. Who rides in that rocket? Bramante the laborer? Bodoni the junk man? Ah.
Old man, I've saved $3,000. It took me 6 years to save it for my business, to invest in machinery. But every night for a month now...
You watch the rockets.
I hear them. I think. Tonight I've made up my mind. One of us will fly to Mars.
Oh, idiot. How will you choose? Who will go? If you go, your wife will hate you. For you will be just a bit nearer God in space. I can see the bitterness gnaw.
No. No, not Maria.
And your children. Will their lives be filled with the memory of Papa who flew to Mars while they stayed here? They'll think of the rocket the rest of their lives, and they will be sick with wanting it, just as you are sick now. They'll want to die if they can't go.
I'm sick now.
Don't show them a goal in the stars, Bodoni. Turn their eyes down to their hands and to your junkyard, not up to the stars.
But
suppose your wife went. How would you feel, knowing she had seen and you had not? No, Bodoni. Buy a new wrecking machine, which you need, and pull your dreams apart with it and smash them to pieces. Listen to me, Bodoni.
There in the west... Look at it, Bramante, climbing fire to the stars.
You haven't listened to me. Well, it gets cold.
Good night, Bramante.
Sleep well, Bodoni.
Fiorello Bodoni stood half naked in darkness, watching the streaks of fire curve upward into the eternal night. And then he looked down. But the river before him reflected the flaming images of the rockets as they tore away from Earth. And there was no peace.
Fiorello?
It's all right.
Are you cold?
No, you should have slept.
I can get some hot milk.
I don't need it. Maria, I have $3,000.
Oh, in the morning?
No, now. I have enough to take one of us on the Mars rocket.
In the morning.
Monty says I should invest it in the business. Forget the rocket.
Fiorello, in the morning.
Think what you'd see. The meteors like fish, the universe, the moon.
What? What are you talking about, Fiorello?
You'd see the earth in the sky, Maria.
I would?
I only have money for one of us.
If someone is to go, it will be you. Now go to sleep.
No, someone should go who could tell it well on returning. You have a way with words.
So have you.
Maria, it should be you.
Oh, in the morning, Fiorello. In the morning.
Hey, Papa. Papa, I saw the Venus rocket this morning.
Boy, oh boy.
Oh, that isn't the way the rocket goes. It goes zoom.
Children, listen, all of you. I have enough money to take one of us on the Mars rocket.
Wait.
Only one of us, you understand? Who?
Me, Papa. Please, Papa.
Listen, consider. Only one can go for the whole family. Consider who should it be.
Papa, maybe Antonello.
Mary Omni. She's the girl.
You, Fiorello, you.
Here, Paolo, give me the broom.
The broom?
Here, now. I have straws here, all long but one. The short straw wins. Understand? We'll choose. Paolo, choose.
Yes, Papa.
What is it? What is it?
Long straw.
Antonello?
Long straw, Papa.
All right, two straws left. You, Maria.
Oh, no, no.
Draw a straw.
I don't want to.
Draw.
Short straw.
Well, Mama goes to Mars.
Yay, Mama goes to Mars.
Congratulations, I'll buy you a ticket today.
Congratulations, Mama.
You'll tell us all about Mars?
I'm glad it was you, Mama. Honest, I am.
I cannot go to Mars.
Why not?
I will be busy with another child.
What?
It wouldn't do for me to travel in my condition.
Is this the truth? Maria, is this true?
Yes, it's true. Draw again. Start over.
Why didn't you tell me this before?
We were talking about the rocket so much.
Maria.
Who goes, Papa?
Draw again. First, Paolo.
Papa, short straw. Papa, short straw. I go to Mars. I go to Mars.
That's swell.
I go to Mars, Papa. I can go, can't I?
Yes.
And you'll like me when I get back?
Of course.
Antonello, will you like me when I get back from Mars?
Sure. Sure, I guess.
Oh, Papa, I forgot. School starts. I can't go. Draw again.
I couldn't go either, Papa. I'm awfully busy.
I am too, Papa.
None of us can go, Papa. Not alone. We wouldn't like each other after. No, none of us will go.
That's best.
Ramonte was right. Invest in junk.
Oh, never mind, Fiorello. Go on, eat your egg. You don't like it when it's cold.
Hey, Bodoni.
Huh?
Bodoni. Turn that thing off.
Huh?
Turn off the machine.
What do you want, Mr. Matthews?
I got some metal for you.
Big?
Plenty big.
What good will it do me? My machinery is falling apart. 20 years old.
Now, quit kicking at something good.
What is it?
A rocket ship.
No.
What's the matter? Don't you want it?
Yes. Yes, I want it.
It's a mock-up, you know. When they plan a rocket, they build a full-scale model of aluminum. No engines. You might make a little profit boiling it down for the aluminum. I'll let you have it for $2,000.
I haven't got the money.
No? Oh, sorry. I thought I could help you. You said everybody outbids you on junk. I figured I could slip this to you on the QT. Well,
I need new equipment. I save money for that.
Oh, sure, sure. I understand.
Even if I bought your rocket, I wouldn't be able to melt it down. My aluminum furnace broke down last week.
Sure. Well, I'll see you.
I couldn't possibly use a rocket if I bought it from you.
Okay, sure.
But I'm a great fool. I'll take my money from the bank and give it to you.
If you can't melt it down... Then...
Deliver it.
All right, if you say so. Tonight?
Tonight. Tonight would be fine. Yes, I'd like to have a rocket ship tonight.
Easy. Slack off. All right, set her down. Look out, look out. Easy, easy. All right, get the chains off her. Okay, Bodoni, you got a rocket ship.
There was a moon. The rocket was white and big in the junkyard. It held the whiteness of the moon and the blueness of the stars.
You're all mine. Even if you never move a Spitfire and just sit there and rust for 50 years, you're mine.
The rocket smelled of time and distance. It was like walking into a clock. It was finished with Swiss delicacy. He crawled through the airlock and walked through the quiet of the passageway. The dome of the control room looked out over the river. The stars were overhead and the moon. He sat in the pilot's seat and touched a lever. The silence beat into his ears. His eyes were closed, and in his mind a hum began. Louder, 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 higher, wilder, stronger, trembling in him, leaning him forward and pulling him and the ship in roaring silence and in a kind of metal screaming, while his fists flew over the controls and his shut eyes quivered, and the sound grew and grew until it was a fire, a strength, a lifting and a pushing of power that threatened to tear him in half. He gasped. The hum was louder in his brain. On and on and on, his eyes tighter, his heart furious.
Take it off. Taking off.
A jolting concussion pounded in his brain, a thunder of power that was silenced to the ear. His eyes tight shut, he saw the flash of fiery rain in the sky.
The meteors! The meteors!
It was a silent rush, a still acceleration, a speed of the mind in the volcanic light of the sun. And with eyes tight, blind, seeing through the mind, he sped on to the great red disk hanging in a black velvet sky.
Mars! Mars! I see it! Mars!
Fell back, exhausted. His shaking hands came loose of the controls and his head tilted back wildly. He sat for a long time, breathing out and in, his heart slowing. Slowly, slowly, he opened his eyes. The junkyard was still there. He sat motionless. He looked at the heaped piles of rusting metal.
Take off. Take off. Take off. I'll show you. I'll show you. Frog. Frog squatting in the junkyard. I'll show you. I'll show you. If you won't fly, you won't. I'll show you. Now I'll show you. You'll feel it when the wrecking waves hit you. You'll listen to me when I smash you. This is my wrecking machine. I'm Fiora Lobodoni, and I'm gonna crack you, smash you up now, now, now!
The silver rocket lay in the light of the moon. The long, slim shape poised in the piles of rusting junk seemed to be moving. The stubby fins seemed swept back by the winds, and the hull seemed crouched for the leap into the skies. Bodoni's hand was on the lever that would send the massive weights of his terrible wrecking machine plunging into the thin aluminum hull, cracking, ripping apart this insolent dream, this silly thing for which he had paid his money and which would not move. But his hand stayed. Beyond the rocket, a block away, stood the yellow lights of his house burning warmly. He stepped down from the wrecking machine and went home. And when he came in the front door, he was laughing.
Maria, Maria,
oh,
Maria.
Fiorello, the children are in bed.
Then wake them and start packing. We're going to Mars.
Fiorello.
We're going to Mars.
You took our money for this?
We're going to Mars.
It will never fly.
It will fly. Children, children.
Papa, is it real? Is it real?
Yes, it's real.
Can I touch it?
Later. Now, go to the house, all of you. I have work to do. Tomorrow we leave. Tell no one. Tomorrow we leave. Tell no one. Understand? It's a secret.
Yippee! Oh, you have ruined us. Our money used for this. This thing.
Please, Maria, you'll see.
Never. Fiorella Bordone, you are a madman. Goodbye.
Where are you going?
To the house. Someone has to take care of your children.
God help me.
Through the midnight hours, trucks arrived, packages were delivered, and Bodoni, smiling, exhausted his bank account.
Hey, Mac, want to check this bill of lading? Rations, United Space Commissary, type 34-7, 10 cartons. Space precautionary repair clothing, one set, including a 34 glassine helmet, breather hold assembly, type 867, shoulder coupling assembly, rubber steel welded.
When the dawn light turned the dark, twisted shadows into piles of old plumbing fixtures and auto chassis, the sputter of Fiorello Bodoni's welding equipment crackled through the yard. A pile of crates stood by the rocket, the wood fresh, the stenciled writing spelling out in authorized standard abbreviations, the roadway to the stars.
Gee, look at that, Tony. Space rations. Guaranteed 7 acceleration rigging.
What's acceleration rigging?
Well, that's so you can take off without being mashed flat.
We're really going. Gee.
You kids, Paolo and Tonello.
Hi, Papa.
You kids, get away from the rocket.
We weren't touching anything.
You've got to be careful with rockets. High tension.
Sure, Papa. We thought maybe we could help.
Don't you worry. Your Papa's gonna take care of everything.
Through the night, the giant arcs brought a lifeless day to the junkyard. The cold blue light was hard. The flash of sparks from the welding machine spurted out like a run of meteors hitting an atmosphere and flaring into nothingness. With welding torch, riveter, and soldering iron, Fiorello Bodoni assaulted the rocket, added, took away, worked fiery magics and secret insults upon it. He bolted 9 ancient automobile motors into the rocket's empty engine room. Then he welded the engine room shut so that none could see his hidden labor. And at morning, he came back to the house.
Maria, I'm ready for breakfast. No word for your husband? Never mind. I'm not hungry. I have more work to do.
The optical equipment was delivered, nested in foam rubber, spring-mounted against the tremor of a sharp-turned street corner or the smashing jar of a planetfall. The electric wiring snaked through the shining corridors of the rocket like the thin white branching nerve from brain to spinal cord to muscle. And then the yard was still. The hammer was laid down. The pile of fresh wood crates was gone. The rocket leaned forward, jutting above the mounds of rusting bed springs and countless empty beer cans. At sunset, Fiorello Bodoni came into his house and called to the children.
Paolo, Antonello, Miriamne. Children.
They will not answer.
Why not?
I've locked them in the closet.
What do you mean?
You'll be killed in that rocket.
Listen to me, Maria.
It will blow up. Anyway, you're no pilot.
I can fly this ship. I've fixed it.
You have gone mad.
Where's the key to the closet?
They will not go. Kill yourself. Leave me my children.
Where's the key?
I have it here.
Give it to me.
Oh, no.
Give it to me.
Leave the baby. Leave me the little girl.
No, all must go. Give me the key.
Oh, here. You will kill them.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes, you will. I feel it.
You won't come along.
I will stay here.
You'll understand. You'll see then. Children, come out. Come, follow your father. We'll go to Mars. Come.
Goodbye, Mama. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye, Maria. You'll see.
Murderer.
Children, before we go inside, listen carefully. We'll be gone a week. You must get back to school and I to my business. Listen, this rocket is very old and will fly only one more journey. It will not fly again. This will be the one trip of your life. Keep your eyes open wide.
Yes, Papa.
All right, we'll go inside. I'll lift you, Mariamne. Stand clear. I'll close the airlock. We're ready now, children. We're going to Mars. Listen. Keep your ears clean. Smell the smells of a rocket. Feel. Remember, so when you return, you'll talk of it all the rest of your lives. Do you understand, Paolo?
Yes, Papa.
Antonello?
Yes, Papa.
Mariamne?
Yes, Papa.
You mustn't loosen the straps or the rubber hammocks. Ready?
Ready.
Ready.
Then I'll throw the switches. Now we take off for Mars.
The children, strapped like tiny mummies in the rubber hammocks, screamed as the rocket thundered and leapt. They danced in the webbing, shouting and pointing 100 ways at once. And then in the port above them, a silver circle floated by, pockmarked with craters, the edge etched sharp against the velvet black.
The moon! That's the moon!
Look well, children. Remember.
The moon dreamed by, the black of space broken by the fierce pinpoints of the stars swarmed around them. And then a flight of fire, a shower of bright flame across the ports.
Meteors! Those are meteors, aren't they, Papa? Aren't they?
Those are meteors. Remember. Remember.
The hours enveloped them. Time flowed away in a serpentine of gas.
What's that?
The Earth. The whole of Earth. Remember it, my little daughter. Remember how the ground you'll walk the rest of your life looks from where God sits.
The rocket dropped pink petals of fire while the hour dial spun. The child eyes dropped shut. At last, they hung like drunken moths in their cocoon hammocks.
Paolo. Antonello. Mariamne. Good.
He tiptoed from the control room, down the shining corridors where the handhold stood out from the cold walls. And then, before the airlock, he stood a long time. Fearful, hesitating, he pressed a button. The airlock door swung open. The door that leads to space, into inky tides of meteor and gaseous torch, into swift mileages and infinite dimensions. Fiorello Bodoni smiled and stepped out. He stood outside the door, and all around the quivering rocket lay the junkyard, rusting, unchanged. There stood the padlocked junkyard gate, the little silent house by the river, the kitchen window lighted. And in the center of the junkyard, manufacturing a magic dream, lay the quivering, purring rocket, shaking and roaring, bouncing the netted children like flies in a web.
Maria, Maria.
Fiorello.
It goes well. I must get back now. God, God, let nothing happen for 6 days. Let nothing happen to the illusion. Let all of space come and go and red Mars come up under our ship and the moons of Mars. Let there be no flaw in the color film. Let there be three dimensions. Let nothing go wrong with the mirrors and screens that mold the fine illusion. Let time pass. God, let us make our trip to Mars.
When the children awoke, red Mars floated near the rocket.
Pop, it's Mars!
Bodoni looked and saw red Mars, and it was good, and there was no flaw in it, and he was very happy. At sunset on the seventh day, Fiorello Bodoni sat before the giant panel and threw 10 switches, and the rocket stilled.
All right, children, we're home.
Mama!
Please sit down. I have ham and eggs for all of you.
Mama, you should have seen it.
Mars, Mama, and the meteors.
And the moon, Mama. You should have seen the moon.
Oh, yes. Now eat, all of you. The eggs are hot.
Papa, we want to thank you.
It was nothing.
We'll remember it for always, Papa. We saw the moon and the meteors. We rode on a rocket to Mars. We'll never forget.
Eat now. The eggs will get cold. Fiorello, are you awake?
Yes.
You're the best father in the world.
Why?
Now I see. Now I understand. Is it a very lovely journey?
Yes.
To Mars?
To Mars.
Fiorello?
Yes?
Maybe some night you might take me on just a little trip. Do you think?
Just a little one, maybe.
Oh, thank you. Good night.
Good night.
You have heard The Rocket by Ray Bradbury. Our radio adaptation was by Ernest Canoy. In tonight's cast, the narrator was Stanley Waxman, Maria Margaret Brayton, Bodoni Don Diamond, Bramante Ralph Moody, Paolo Joel Nessler, Antonello David Duval, Miriamne Dorothy Brown, Matthews Kurt Martell, your announcer John Wald. The director of NBC Presents Short Story is Andrew C. Love. Be with us again at the same time next week for our production of James Cain's short story, Dead Man. This program came to you from Hollywood. Tomorrow evening, the Camel Caravan joins NBC. Enjoy a full 30 minutes of sparkling music as provided by Vaughn Monroe, the Moon Maids, the Moon Men, and lovely Shay Cogan. This Saturday, tomorrow, on the premiere broadcast, the Camel Caravan will salute the University of Connecticut. Make a program note to hear the Camel Caravan tomorrow night.
The Golden Age of Radio on WMKY, Ray Bradbury's The Rocket on the NBC short story, first broadcast on radio on January 4th, 1952. This has been The Golden Age of Radio, classic old-time radio programs from the 1930s through the 1950s. Material for this program provided by the Internet Archive, an online nonprofit library of books, movies, music, and old-time radio shows. On the web at archive.org. Tune in again for the Golden Age of Radio next week at the same time and channel on WMKY at 90.3 FM and online at WMKY.org.